Have you noticed how loud restaurants are getting? Tom Sietsema has. He's food critic for The Washington Post, and noise has become such an issue that he includes decibel levels in his restaurant reviews. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So is this something, the idea that restaurants are getting louder, that you have noticed for a long time, or is this recent? What's going on?
Well, 10 years or so ago, I started getting lots of complaints from diners. They couldn't talk in restaurants anymore. And sure enough, I did some research on noise, bought a sound meter, and started recording what was happening in restaurants around Washington. And frankly, it wasn't very appetizing. You know, some of the best-known places in the city at that time were serving food in settings with the noise equivalents of garbage disposals and lawnmowers. And just for the sake of comparison, 60 decibels is normal conversation, but I was sitting in 80 and 90 decibel environments. And those are the sounds that, you know, are created by garbage disposals and lawnmowers.
And what's the reason for it? Do the restaurateurs just not care about it? Is it that they're getting just busier, these restaurants?
Well, it's sort of a double-edged sword. Look, no one wants to walk into a mausoleum. Restaurants insist energy translates to buzz, but lively, quote-unquote, has its downside. I recall when I did the initial story, one guy wanted to propose to his girlfriend, and the restaurant they were in was so loud he had to get up and beside her to make it happen. But I think partly to blame are all these modern design touches, you know, the exposed surfaces and the clean, slick look that's favored by so many designers. You've got marble countertops, brick walls, bare walls, undressed tables. There's nothing to absorb the noise. Then you throw in some overhead TVs and fashionable open kitchens. You pack a room full of diners, each of whom is forced to talk louder over the din, and you've got even more of a blast.
Well, and the other thing is that a lot of these hot restaurants are getting filled up with people maybe in their 20s and 30s. And then if you bring in somebody who's older who doesn't want to scream over everything, they're not going to have a good time no matter how good the food is.
Well, sure. But you know what was fun? When I did this story 10 years ago, I purposefully went with people who were in their 20s and 30s. Mm. And they were the ones who gave me some of the best quotes. I mean, the guy who proposed to his girlfriend at the time was 35 years old when I interviewed him. And they had a do-over the next day, by the way, because the restaurant was so noisy. So it's not just senior citizens that I'm hearing from. It's a lot of people who are younger, certainly.
So do you think that the trend will change, that restaurateurs will decide we need to focus on this?
Well, you know, in some ways they are doing it. You know, I'm sort of shaming them every week with my restaurant reviews because alongside the star ratings, I include decibel counts. And, you know, restaurants tell me they're using acoustic panels and seat cushions and things like that to sort of tamp down the noise. But, you know, our restaurant scene is just exploding here. There's no city really that's immune from this problem, by the way. I hear from my peers around the country, noise is a problem in San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Minneapolis. It's everywhere. And again, I think it's because of the design and, you know, large numbers of people going to popular restaurants. Drinking, none of that helps.
Just thinking cynically here, is there something in it for the restaurants to keep the noise level so loud because maybe then it quickens the turnover and people don't want to stay for too long?
Well, there is that, you know. The downside for the diner is that loud sounds can elevate blood pressure, intensify the effects of alcohol. Some people even get nauseous, but they also eat faster in noisy environments. And I swear I'm developing a hunch because of the leaning in I do when I'm going out to eat anymore. And I'm surprised more places don't offer a side of earplugs because I'd certainly bite.
Now, of course, you don't want the restaurant, as you said, to be dead silent. Who gets it right?
Wow, there are a number of places. You know, quiet is the new luxury ingredient. The least noisy restaurants in my fall dining guide tended to be splurges, expense account destinations. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. There are a handful of places that don't have this problem. But with high-cost menus, you often have padded seats, lots of curtains, linens on the table. All those little things add up to a quiet restaurant for the most part. And two, a lot of these places are small. They're not – luxury restaurants tend not to be huge places for the most part.
Do diners make decisions now, do you think, based on the noise level?
Oh, they absolutely do. They tell me, you know, week in and week out that they do, that they're voting with their pocketbooks. They look at those the star ratings. They look at the noise ratings next to the star ratings. No matter how good, how many stars I give a place, they are apt to turn the page and not go to that restaurant based on the noise in that restaurant.
I just want to back up while we have you and ask you about a couple of other things, because you've mentioned Washington, D.C., and that the restaurant scene is just so hot right now, and it's changing so much. I remember I lived there between 2005 and 2008, and it was like a different world than it is today.
It sure was.
There were all these old standby restaurants that had been there forever, and a friend told me once he thought that the reason for that was because the people that could afford to go to the really nice restaurants, if they really wanted to go out and splurge and have a great night, they'd go up to New York, because then nobody would recognize them, because they were probably all really important, powerful people. They didn't want to get drunk in Washington. But what do you think has happened in that city?
You know, I think a couple of things have happened. I think we have a really smart, young crowd of millennials who know food better than my generation did, certainly, and who have the disposable income to enjoy this all the international flavors that we have here. But what I like so much is, you know, the city has changed so much. We have new neighborhoods, quote unquote, new neighborhoods that never existed before. You know, when people used to eat out when they want something fancy, certainly they go to K Street or Georgetown, perhaps. And now that the dining scene has shifted to places like Shaw or Petworth or 8th Street Northeast or the waterfront, for that matter. You know, we've sort of been teased for being a steakhouse town, but that hasn't really been true for over a decade.
You don't
now.
Think people are still steakhouse would still be the number one thing in Washington?
No, I don't. You know, people are just so much more adventurous than mm-hmm. that. And you know, I love the fact that we can call DC sexy. Now,
I guess
I know you laugh, but
ask.
You have to come back and eat here. You have to come back
no,
and eat. I'll take you out.
Food-wise, absolutely. And in fact, I was at a restaurant a couple years ago, and it was in an area of town that when I lived there, you wouldn't want to walk around
you
at night by
go.
Yourself. And I said to somebody, "Can I walk back to my hotel from here? You think when it's dark out?" And he said, "There are like two Michelin-starred restaurants between here and where you're going. I think you'll be okay."
So, I love it. I love it.
What do you think, as we look forward into 2019, what do you think is going to be one of the food trends that you're going to be watching out for?
Oh, my gosh. Small plates will remain with us. The better restaurants are really devoting a lot of time and care and attention to vegetables. I am a dedicated carnivore, but even those of us who like meat a lot are certainly rethinking our diets, I think, being a little bit more thoughtful, and we're looking to restaurants to help us with that. And so whereas vegetables used to be sort of an afterthought or a side dish, they're moving to the center of the plate, center of the table, and I love that trend. I think it's really important.
And what do you still not have in the Washington food scene that you'd like?
Oh, gosh. I wish we had better delis. I wish we had Cambodian food. I just got back from Cambodia and love it over there. And I wish we had more representation, perhaps, from Nordic countries. You know, it's been big around the country, and certainly thanks to places like Noma in Copenhagen. But mm-hmm. I wish we had more representation as far as that's concerned.
One of my favorites in D.C. still is, although I can never get into it anymore, Rasika. Amazing Indian restaurant.
I love that restaurant. You know, that's been a real trailblazer. And when my food critic friends from the national magazines or from around the country come, I love to introduce them to that, because I think it is one of the best examples of modern Indian cooking in the country. Mm-hmm. And I've been to India too, you know, and I love what's happening over there. More middle class people are eating out, and I just love the elevated stature that Rasika has given to cuisine that so many millions of people are eating every day.
That is Tom Sietsema, food critic for The Washington Post. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.